And this morning, I just want to welcome you. This is such an amazing time to be in the kingdom of God and to see the Lord move in some of the most miraculous ways that he will move in, that we are in a scenario and in a situation, for those ones in Northern Ireland that are watching. Yes, see the giggles going there. But, you know, God is in this whole momentum and this movement forward because his plan and his purposes are to come in an end time revival. And by revival, I mean salvation, like so vast, so great, the numbers you won't be able to count, because they're just going to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's going to be possibly not so much more of what we can do. We can do a lot to help that, but it's going to be a scenario, I feel, that God's going to have this a sovereign move of his spirit, that hearts of men and women are going to be drawn to him, drawn to you, drawn to me. Because when God moves, he and his spirit come upon the hearts of men and women and children, and they'll waken up in the morning and they just this burning desire in their heart. I need to find someone who's a believer today. I need to get to a church this weekend. I need a connection with God. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come out of the woodwork, come out of the places you looked at and thought, well, that person's so hard, so locked down that they'll never encounter Jesus. And Jesus will come and the Spirit of the living God will come upon them, and they'll come alive, and they'll have this whole encounter that breaks off the hardness and the bitterness of heart and actually frees them up. And men, you got to believe that you're not to come into worship meetings. You're not to come into meetings and just stand there and go, it's okay for him to be dancing all over the show, but me, well, I can't do that because I'm the man. And man, you need to realize that your God has a heart, and his heart is in you, and his heart is full of joy. And so there is nothing wrong with releasing and revealing joy and allowing your heart to open up and to be happy and to dance. If you feel like dancing, you see others do, don't get stuck in the rut of, well, I can't do that because I'm not a dancer and I don't want to look like a fool because I'm a man. And so you just need to break free from that and then step right in into the freedom that Jesus has for you, because it's more important that you find your God, that you find his place for you, so you can enter in and be free and no longer be held back. Amen. So you get encouraged this morning, man. And I mean, not just men, I mean women as well, because some of us women are locked down quite a lot as well, too. Yeah. So like you got to look at the whole scenario where King David said he would be even more undignified than this. And so he danced. So up through the street in front of the crowds, he wasn't worried who was watching, who was looking at him. He had his focus on his father and was enjoying the joy of the moment. So that is you guys. You just need to break out, get real, and allow yourself to come alive. Allow the Spirit of the living God that actually is in you, that's so bubbling, wanting to come out, and you try and suppress it so many times. Stop the suppression. Let it go, let it out, and see what God does for you in this next season. Amen. I don't know who that was for, but that's a word for somebody this morning. And so you just need that Holy Spirit presence to go gurgle, 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 bubble, bubble deep within, and to overflow out of the cup that he blessed you with, because he blessed you with a cup so that it would overflow, not to stay half full or even empty, because empty is no good. You need full to the overflowing limits so that you get to give what you've got away to others. Amen. That's nothing to do with what I'm speaking on, by the way, this morning, but I just thought that was what I was prompted to, so I'm just speaking that out right at the start. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking a message on reprogramming. Now, why reprogramming? Well, basically, this came about as a result of watching a movie earlier this week. And it was a movie based on a true story, and it's called Freedom Riders. I don't know whether any of you have seen that. But Freedom Riders was a movie made about a school classroom in America where a young lady went in to actually be the teacher in the class, And man, did she walk into a hornet's nest of young people from Hispanic backgrounds, from black backgrounds, from white backgrounds. Well, there was actually only one white in the whole of the class. And there was a gang in there from Cambodia. So there was different nations, but they were all like this with each other. They were just, there was such an aggression, and I can't be seen to be weak. I can't let them win. And if they do something, then I've got to do something bigger and harder back at them. So this girl was in this classroom trying to actually get them even to calm down, to sit down and to do what she was asking of them. And she realized, you know, this is not working. This curriculum that I've got is not going to actually just, it's, I'm just going to be slaughtered here every day. And so she changes tact and she starts to speak to him about them, who they are, where they're from. What is your story? And so she introduced them to a book about this lady who had made it through the Second World War in a German prisoner of war camp because she was a Jew. And the book was her story, even though she was dead, but her story was still encapsulated in her book. So her life could be seen, could be touched by others throughout the generations. And so she began to say, look, what is your story? Here's a book. Take it home. Write your story in the book. And if you would like me to, leave them in the shelf and I'll see them at night and I'll give them back to you. And so bit by bit, these young people began to write down the story of their abuse, of their hardships, of their family hardships, of what it was like growing up in a black community, what it was like growing up in a Hispanic community. And these guys and girls began to open up, and bit by bit, they began to bond. So the whole story was about love being released through challenging them about their story and what had happened in their lives. And they get to write this book, and they actually get to meet the woman that the book was about, who had actually wrote the book. And so it was such an amazing turnaround for a classroom of people that were angry, ready to pull knives, pull guns. And yet through love and through work, that school got turned around. Their stories were heard in that Freedom Writers movie. And one particular part that really stuck out with me was one of the young black guys. And she said, what would you like to see? Because she was around the classroom. What would you like to see? What would you like to see? And she stopped, and this young black guy stood up and said, what would you like to see? I'd like to see my 18th birthday. I'd like to see my 18th birthday. He knew that on the street, his life was seconds away from being taken out. Mm. And his heart's cry, I want to make it to my 18th birthday. And as far as he was concerned then, if he could make it to then, that was a good thing. And that was his reach as far as he could see at that time. But that was reality for him. I want to reach my 18th birthday. And so there's a whole thing in us that humanity wants to put us at loggerheads with each other. But actually, by reprogramming and retraining and re-educating, we can actually be in community, be in harmony, and be the one that watches each other's back when a few weeks ago we would have been wanting to take that person out. That's a tremendous turnaround. And that woman that was the teacher, wow, what an example she set for the rest of the school and for the college in that year. So that was that basis behind this reprogramming, because how many of us have computers? How many of us have a laptop? You know, we know how it works. Well, we should do by now. But, you know, a laptop or a computer is only as good as the programs that are in it, and also the person that's using it. It's a machine to do a job. But it's a bit like us. We are like a computer in the hand of God, and he has designed us, manufactured us, but he has a plan and a purpose for us to be a program of delivery that will bring captives who are held in the sin and the lifestyle that they're held in. And we're the computer that can go in front of them and say, hey, guys, this doesn't have to be this way. We can look, we can talk, we can meet for coffee, and we can share life stories together. But ultimately, I'm here to let you know that this is not the best that you can have, that there is more for you in this life. And so there's just that thing in us that God has put his spirit in us. It's alive. We are part of him. He is part of us. But we have a message to proclaim of love, love one another. And so just to reach out in the communities where we are to actually be the voice of Jesus, to be the lifestyle of Jesus, and to be the embodiment of Jesus for others so that they see greater in us than what they see around them in their own circles. Amen. You know, we have an old program working that needs the Lord to change it. When we were in the world, I mean, we were oblivious, some of us, to the fact that God even existed. And but yet God encountered us. The Spirit of the living God came, had an encounter with us. And out of that, we turned around, bowed our heads and said, Jesus, I'm yours. Take me. Use me. And so there was a surrender in your heart that came out of an encounter with God that has led you to a born again, a person of Jesus Christ. And so it's like his DNA got placed inside of us so that we are moving from glory to glory, as the Bible says, but we're moving in a journey to get us closer to Jesus, more like Jesus. And the more like Jesus we become, the more we will actually give out of him. We will emanate Jesus out of our lives. The light of God that's in us will arise and shine and actually will impact others. Amen. So that's why we're here. So I'm using a computer as an analogy today, as a type, and, you know, just to get across an example of what it is we're about. Now, a computer can fail, but a programmer, you know, there's steps that you can look up on the internet of how to write a computer program. Now, here's some of them. One, understand the problem you're trying to solve. That's your base level where you start from. Then it's design a solution to the problem. Draw a flow chart. Write a pseudo code, then write a code, test it and debug the code, test with real world users. In other words, you put it out there so others will come back with their feedback on your program. And then you can release the program once you know that it's actually of a standard, that it will work. So there's processes that you go through in the processing and preparing of a program to go out there on the internet or go out there on a laptop computer as a game or whatever. But we have an example with a computer that breaks down. If you've had a computer that breaks down, slows down, and you've maybe got two or three of them stuck in the cupboard somewhere and you think, well, I'll keep it. You know, there's no point keeping it. If it's done, it's done. Bin the thing. You got to get a new one because the old is already slowing down. It's not as effective. And so you need to change. You need to upgrade where you are. You need to reprogram, have new programs that can actually get you to work faster, more effectively. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. We can try to repair it ourselves, or we can take it to a shop that can do the repair for us. The report has many scenarios in the diagnosis of what needs to be done. But the power, the first one I would check out would be the power supply. Being an electrician, of course, I'd look at the power supply. Is the computer getting the supply that it needs? Is the battery still effective? And so, because if that is not operational, then nothing else operates. That is like your bedrock. That is your base level to start to. Is there power getting to the machine? Is there a battery level that will still operate for the machine? If not, well, it's flunked. It's totally dead in the water before you even pull that lid up. So it's just not going to operate well for you, because it needs to have a power supply to either charge it or to make it function as the design of the product that it was meant. You know, so if you've got the power supply failure, it's like the heart of the heartbeat of the computer is dead. It won't operate. And so some of us today have heart issues that need to be resolved by us plugging into the connection of the Holy Spirit and into the Father's presence. Because only when that power hits you and comes into your body that you will be switched on, ignited, and changed. And so there's a Father who is up above in heaven who desires relationship with you. And today he's saying, if your power pack has failed, let me give you a new one. Let us get this up and running again, and let's get your program back out there again so you can operate and operate well. Amen. You know, if your hard drive has failed, sometimes they fail completely. Other times it's partially, and there's like segments of a hard drive can just stop functioning. I mean, we had this a few months ago with Sharon's computer, where we took it for the repair, and the guy came back and said there's like so many, like 40 plus segments of her hard drive had failed and would never operate again. And so as a result, we lost all of the information on that computer because it had a power failure that had failed that needed to be replaced. It had a hard drive that needed to be replaced. But thank God for a source that you can tap into where you can actually restore from a backup drive. Hallelujah. There is always a backup plan. Amen. And God is in the whole business of backing up, and so we can actually be released to actually operate so he can restore you back to where you should be. And so a part of a board may need to be soldered, or a complete board taken out and replaced with a new one. The screen may be cracked, which affects the view. And sometimes, have you ever looked, I dropped my laptop quite a few years ago now, and it cracked right across the whole screen. It was like less than 6 months old. And so long story short, we got the screen repaired because I was struggling to see what was coming up in the screen because of the shattering effect that was on it. And some of our lives are like that as well. We've got like cracks and splits, and it's like the Holy Spirit and the Lord wants to come along and remove that screen that's broken out of your life and give you back fresh image so that you can be seen as who you are, a representative of Jesus Christ. And so if your screen's not great, then you want to get it repaired or get it renewed. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is how do we reprogram ourselves to be in tune with the Father? You know, it has to be us. Our eyes have to be focused on the very one that we said yes to, who is our plug-in, our power supply. He is the very one that sustains us and gives us life. So when he presses the button on your computer, you come alive and you're full of the information that he has given you and the experiences that he has had you walk through in life. You've got that stored in your hard drive, because out of your hard drive, you will begin to talk to others about where they are. And also people out there will see something in your life. Well, I've been there. That bloke's talking my language. You know, I understand what he's saying because I've seen that. I have been there. And so there's this whole thing about your life that becomes an example to others out there. And a lot of times you don't even realize that people are watching you, watching your life in how you operate and how you handle yourself in certain scenarios. But they're watching because they see something in you, and it's something that they really desire, but sometimes haven't got the guts to come up and say, what's changed with you? Tell me about what happened. And so we're going to get these opportunities come to us where we will have the opportunity to share about how we walk through certain journeys and certain pathways that brought scars on us, like we talked about the guy earlier. But out of that scarring can come healing, restoration, replacement, reprogramming of the memory to actually change and how it affects your personality. So the Lord is in the whole process of just taking your life and turning it. And eventually one day it'll find the slot, click in, and you will know exactly who you are in your God, that you are a son, that you are a royal princess or a prince, but you are a member of the royal family of heaven because you said yes to Jesus Christ. We're called to look like Jesus. We're called to love like Jesus. Be around the presence of God. Our eyes to be focused on the very source of our help. He is our strong tower, our protector, our fortress. Come on, folks. This is who he is. He is everything to you. He is everything to me. And so out of that everything, your heart gets to beat. It gets to pump with excitement because your Father is reaching down, touching you, and taking you to new levels in him. You know, we are called to carry a cross like Jesus did. Oh, I don't want that part. I prefer the good stuff. No, there's the good and the bad in life. And so we need to be ready to handle both. But where can you handle, when you can handle pain because of the cross, you can handle extreme love because of the cross. You can get the two extremes working in your life, and you know how to handle it because of the presence of your King operating and inside of you. So we want to be prepared to be more like Jesus every day, that moving from glory to glory, moving into a deeper relationship each and every day with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life. There is no other way. So that's why I'm saying He is the power supply that we tap into. There is none other. There is no other source in the world, no other religion in the world that can do, that can be the healer, that can be, you know, just everything that God desires for you. It's right there in Him, just needing the connection. And the connection is down to us linking into Him and searching Him out, just dwelling on Him, spending time with Him and hearing His voice for you. When you open up the Bible and the Bible begins to, as you read it, you know, certain times you'll come and you'll think, wow, I never seen that before. And it's like this scripture verse begins to liven and almost nearly like highlight itself in the page of the Bible to you. And it begins to mean, and it affects your spirit. And it actually takes you to a level to think, I need to look into this. Now, such a scripture is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So then in that first part, you know, then through the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice that becomes acceptable to God and pleasing to Him. Now, this is not speaking anything of this works and we need to do to get. No, God's not like that. But He's actually saying that if you are tied in with Me and if you're focused on Me, then we will walk life well together. You know, so He expects us to be a heart that is humble before Him and to walk in His ways. So as His ways are the best ways because He created them to be so. And there's no other God out there can create His sort of ways, His scenarios to lead you through this life. Amen. So in verse 2 of chapter 12 in Romans, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, reprogrammed by the renewing of your mind. This is our biggest computer part here is the mind. So that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, by that, I'm not meaning that there's a good way and there's an acceptable way and there's a perfect way. They're not three separates here. Get this verse right in its context. It's actually saying that all three are in connection. They're not three separates that God will accept you if you're just good or if you're acceptable or if you're perfect. No, it's all three are connected. There is no division between these three examples here in the scripture. So how are we transforming? How are we reprogramming? Well, it's a connection thing again. And if you're connected with the Father and you're connected in your reading of the Word and your prayer times and you're waiting on God, because it's just not about the Word. It's just not about reading. It's just not about waiting. It's about actually all of it, because all of it is how He operates to take you and bring you higher in the levels with Him. Amen. So that's that Matthew 6, verse 6 thing again, where it says clearly there that we are to come out of the world to shut the door, which means we shut everything down and we have that time of quiet, still waiting, totally surrendered to the Father and saying, God, I'm here. Speak. Let me hear your voice. And so unless you do those times, you're not growing. Unless you focus your eyes on the Father, the lover of your soul, and if He's the lover of your soul, wouldn't you want to be the one that gives love back to someone that loves you with such intensity? Mm. It's a relationship. He has given it all. All He requires of us is to follow Him and to give our all to Him. Surrender is key to moving forward. You know, and in you know, there's a cost to this, because in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, is when Jesus talking about the disciples here, he says, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, in other words, follow Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So this is not a willy-nilly lifestyle. If you think it's all rosy and all, hey, this is amazing, you know, God's called us to pick up our cross and follow him. He had a purpose when he carried his cross, because he had a purpose to change around what had happened back in the Garden of Eden by his death and his resurrection and his descending into the heavenly realms to be with his Father. He shifted, he changed, he reprogrammed the outworking of that event from that time forward. And that was an open door for us to have access to come and say, yes, Jesus, I really sometimes don't understand all this, but I know my heart is drawing to you, and I'm going to say yes and trust you that as I say yes, I will get more understanding and I will get more of what it is you're meaning for me. And so there's a faith element when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you step out of the safety of where you are, you take a risk, and you put your hands into the hands of Jesus and said, you drive, I'll sit in the back seat, Jesus. And so there's a handing over of your life, because he is the programmer, he is the designer after all. So who better to give the control of it back to than the one that functioned it, that made it, created it? You know, it's the only source you want to be connected to. Amen. So in Mark 10 and verse 21, it says here that this is a rich young ruler that had come to him, and Jesus could see that. And he said, looking at him, loved him, key. So he loved him and said to him, because he just told Jesus, said, well, all the things of the law I've done, I've kept them all. I have not messed up in any of them. So I've been just resolute in following you after the ways of God. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. That rich young ruler had a choice to make. Now, unfortunately, he didn't make the best choice, because he chose his earthly riches over and above the heavenly ones that the Lord was saying, you give this up, come with me and let me show you how exciting your life's going to be as we walk life together, and you get to be around me, you get to be around the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how your life will change. You think you have riches now? Well, riches beyond compare are at your fingertips, but the choice was his, and he did not make the good choice. Choices are us as well. We choose whether or not we press into the lover of our soul, or whether we just choose to drift and do life. And we'll go to church on a Sunday and we'll get a little top up. But it's God's calling you today to sharpen up, step up, and press in for him. Because it's in the pressing in that the next season that's coming is going to be so exciting for you. Because in the pressing in, it says that the Spirit of the living God that dwells in us will reveal to us truth. So he's going to actually show us things that are about to take place. He'll actually up us, uproot us, and say, you need to go move here and go to this city and be involved with where I am at. And so there's going to be changes and shifts. You're going to be moved from this church, and God will direct you to go to that church. It's still the kingdom, folks. It's still the connection of the body worldwide. So, but your heart is surrendered, isn't it? You're carrying his cross. So wherever he says, whatever he says will do, you go do that. Because that's the best place for you to be operating in. You know, who are you putting your trust in? Are you trusting in the one you gave your life to? Did you really surrender all of your heart, your mind, and your body and say, whatever it is, whatever it takes, Lord, here am I, send me. That's where you need to be at the day, you know, today. This is at the foot of the cross, where the blood of Jesus was shed for you to give you freedom and to give you the joy of the Lord, the spirit of entitlement, that he has everything that he's giving to you as a son or a daughter. It's all at your fingertips. All he requires of you is like the rich young ruler, give it all to me and see what I will do with what you've given. Psalm 118, verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And the next verse, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, we have all stories. Every one of us has stories of people that we thought were close, thought were friends, and at one point or another, they've walked away or they haven't stood by us when we needed them most, when it counted most, and you needed someone, you needed a shoulder to cry on or just a hug, just to say, and somebody to tell you, it's going to be okay. You will get through this. And how many of us has seen that people have walked away at some of the most crucial points in our lives? We've been there. It's been happening. So there are so many stories about this, but it's not about the failing or the lack of what happened. But again, it's like if your thoughts and you're dwelling on the riches that you have or your way of doing things, then see how that works out. I would suggest to you today that you don't go down that route, but everything that you do is focused on Jesus. Out of him, let your flow go, because out of his ways, your ways will be better than you've ever imagined. And so today, a surrendered heart will actually get further with the Lord, because you've become pliable. You've become that piece of clay on the potter's wheel for him to put his hands around, mold, shape, and put you into the vessel of honor that he desires and he sees over you. He sees the potential in you, and he knows there's potential in you, but he's looking for the yes today to say, okay, Father, I am totally, totally yours. Whatever it takes, you do it. I'm totally surrendered. And that's a prayer that you should pray today and just make things right. If you're not been right with the Lord, if you haven't been close to him, then make it right. Keep short accounts with your Father is the best way. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, your hard drive, and lean not on your own understanding, because your own understanding, it will get you so far, and you may have a good life with it, but it's not as going to be as good as what tuning in to what the Lord has for your life. That will be even more special, because it will be so exciting and you will enjoy every step of the way. Psalm 91, verse 2, we all know Psalm 91, but in verse 2 it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. So there's your bedrock. Your bedrock is in who do you trust today? Do you trust the God of the Israelites that opened the Dead Sea and caused waters to part to allow his children through? Or do you trust in the old Andy? Well, I can do it. I can think this through. I can process this and I can figure this out and I can get through this. Stop it. God's saying stop it today. If you are a son of the or a daughter of the living God, then come into alignment with him. Seek first his kingdom, and then all these things will be added onto you. Your basis is in the seeking first his ways. Everything else revolves around and flows out of that sustaining that he provides for you. It's a submissive heart. That's what he's looking for. Someone will say, I'm surrendered, Lord. I've tried it for so long. I can't do this anymore. I've got problems coming out of my ears, Lord. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. And today, yes, Lord, here, take it all. If he's saying that you will deal and you will be our Lord and you'll be our God, you'll be our fortress, our strong tower, well then, okay, God, today I say yes to you. I will go your way. I will try your ways, because what I've done to date hasn't worked. It's taken me so far, but I'm still up against it. I'm like pressing against a brick wall. My head is sore from hitting it. That's the time when you give in, you surrender, and you say, okay, God, here am I. I'll go your way. And you give up the fight of you, and you deny you to allow him to have a greater extent of say over your life than he's ever had before. Surrendered hearts change things. Surrendered hearts will lead you into encounters with the Father, and he will take you on journeys, and he will take you into places like where we were on Friday with a young man that had been troubled, had walked a whole life of drugs and alcohol and you name it, for so many years. Why? Because he had had fear put into him by a father that was meant to be there, meant to protect him, and yet failed. And out of that, a son went a wayward way because he felt unloved, he felt fearful, and out of his fear, he thought, I have to protect me. No one else can do this for me. And so it forms you into a pathway that is not the best pathway for life. But God came on Friday, and that was all restored for him. And God is good. So I'm saying the submission brings results. You go his ways, he'll come to a greater extent to you and love upon you and be that lover of your soul and that protector for you when you need him most. When you call out, he will answer because he's faithful. And remember this, he's the God that you said yes to. He's the God that you put your trust into. So you got to believe that what you took on board and what you said, God, come live within me, that you meant it, that you believe it with your heart, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, it's scripture. It's black and white. It's there for the taking. It's all at your fingertips. The provisions and the blessings of God are they're relentless. They're abundant. The Lord says he wants to give you an abundant life. But out of abundancy, they have to be coming this honing in to the central focus of it's all about him. If you haven't died to old me yet, to the selfish ways that you desire to walk in, well then, you're going to hit a few walls, but the Lord will love you until the point you say, okay, God, I'm surrendered. And then, wow, watch what God does with you when you say yes in the entirety for that. You know, because in Romans 10 and verse 9, this is a great scripture, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? You will be saved. You know, so if you're watching this today or down the line a little bit and you don't know Jesus Christ and you're thinking, wow, that sounds interesting. My life's been so harsh, so bad. I mean, my upbringing, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is your day of encounter. This is your day of salvation. This is your day where you can say, Jesus, I will believe in you. And confess with my mouth that I believe in you and ask you to become my friend, to come and dwell in my heart like you've done with so many millions of people in the past. Here am I today in front of you, God, saying, please come, change my life, be part of my life, and let me come into your kingdom today in Jesus Christ. You know, because there's truth in that, and that's a life-changing encounter that you will always look back on. You will always remember the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And so what a wonderful thing to do. So if that's you today, just say it. Just go for it. You don't need anybody with you. You can just pray a simple prayer. My prayer, I mean, talk to God. Like I'm talking to you now, that's what it is. Prayer is talking to the lover of your soul, your Father in heaven, who wants to encounter you today. You know, so today has been an amazing, amazing time. I've got other things I was going to share this morning, but you know what? I'm not going to. I'm going to stop there because to bring out a salvation call is an important place to be at, especially for you who are the pinnacle of receiving Jesus Christ. So right now, I just say, close your eyes, and I'm going to pray, and you pray, and you can repeat after me what I'm saying. Dear Jesus, right now, I say yes to you. I surrender my life to you. I give my all to you. I give my past mistakes over to you today and ask you, Jesus Christ, Spirit of the living God, to come and dwell in me. I say yes to you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, so God is a good Father. You know, if you've prayed that prayer today, then even if you're online right now, type in and let us know. So we get a chance so we can contact you, let us know who you are, where you're from. And so we'd love to actually just take this further with you and explain some parts to you that you may not even yet understand. But you know what you have done today? You have stepped into the kingdom of the living God. Your life will never be the change. It never be the same. That you have stepped out of the old and into a new life. And Jesus says that your old life, it's like a blackboard with chalk all written on it. And the Lord just goes, you said yes, it's gone. He said he'll not remember it again because it's been dealt with. All your past, all the things you've done wrong, they're gone. You know, so great is the joy of the Lord, because that excitement in you, it's like he takes this burden, this rucksack full of all the rubbish of life. He takes it off your shoulders, removes it, and you get fresh start, a fresh clean slate. And it can get really, really good for you, you know, because you don't need to go back to the old ways to get enjoyment anymore. You press into Jesus Christ. You look to him. You get the word of God in front of you, and you begin to read, and you begin to press in to your now Heavenly Father, and I'll say to him, Lord, I've said yes, now you lead me, you guide me, my life is yours, and let's see where this goes. It's an amazing journey you've just stepped into. And so God, we just pray a blessing upon these people, that you would richly come upon them, Father, that there would be such an anointing, such a turnaround, and such a that dunamis power, that dynamite power that you speak about, Jesus, that enters us when we say yes to you. And we just bless you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that it would set you on fire. The Bible speaks about a cup that overflows, so that when God comes into your life, you're like a cup that's empty, but God pours in his Holy Spirit into you to dwell inside of you. And so out of that dwelling comes this rising of the Spirit of the living God that will overflow out of your cup. And out of your cup, your friends will hear about it. Your family will hear about it. And you'll be able to pray for people that are sick, and you will see them get well, because the Spirit of the living God is in you, and it dwells in you now. And so you are blessed to be a son or a daughter. Welcome to the family of Jesus Christ. This is an amazing day for you. Put it in your diary. You will never be the same. You know, and Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says in there that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's where you get. You get the privilege of walking in the pathways of God that God has ordained. Do you know that God had a dream for you before you were even born? And that's where you're in the journey to find that dream that God has for you, God has for your life. You are no mistake. And don't let anybody tell you that you were, because you were never a mistake. You are a living being that God ordained, and God knows you would be alive today in this season right now, and that you would be saying yes to him today as to be a Lord and a Savior, to be a friend forever. What a glorious day. It's amazing. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the body and the family of Jesus Christ. You'll never be the same. Your life has changed. And so because you believed and you said yes to Jesus Christ today. Amen. So you are part of a process now that has started of reprogramming, so that the old is gone and the new has come. And your reprogramming takes you on a journey with Jesus Christ, takes you on a journey with connecting with other brothers and sisters in the family of God who will look after you, help teach you and equip you and train you in the things of God, because there's something birthed in your spirit today that's on fire, that is the Spirit of the living God has come to dwell in you today. So, Father, we just bless all who are on this call this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the story of this young man that got healed of bad memories, Lord, that marked him. And, Father, you're the God, you're the healer, you're the restorer. And so we can look to you, that we keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. And then out of that place of surrender, you move and you take us into new levels with you in the kingdom of God. So we thank you, Lord. We say that we trust you. We love you, Lord. You are such an amazing God, and there is none like you. And so we just bless you today, and we give you the glory today, Father, and the thanks today that a young man was set free from a dream and from a memory that had hounded him for years. You're the God who brings relief. And so we just trust that there'll be others who even hear this, Lord, that will have encounters with you, Father, and get their freedom that you give, that you give it so freely to us. So we bless you. You're such an amazing God. We bless this week in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that you have encounters with the glory of the living God. Amen. Amen.